present, one day before hell broke loose. Cyrus didn't remember the order in which his sister ruined his sleep. Curtains ripping open a hole of white-hot morning light, the aroma of Costa Rica blend coffee drifting into his nose, the cabinet slamming shut as if to spite him awake, or the rock-hard punch in the shoulder that said, "Get up!" He jostled awake, one leg hanging off the couch. He was wrapped in a fleece blanket. An empty bag of cheesy puffs sat on his chest, staring at him like a bass in mid-feeding. He wiped his face and startled at the sight of his sister Becca. Ponytail, starry night bandana, stud in her cheek, dragon tattoo on her shoulder, trademark camo tank top. She was frowning, hard.
"Jesus, Beck, what's up with you?"
Becca grabbed the blanket and pulled, unraveling him off the couch and onto the floor. Frowning some more, she moved to the bay window in the living room of the one-bedroom apartment and twisted the blinds open, flooding the room with sunlight that might as well have made Cyrus burn out of existence. She sat at her reclaimed wood kitchen table next to a brick wall and nursed a hot coffee mug. "Seriously, Beck, what the hell?" Cyrus asked. When she didn't answer, he shot to his feet, staring daggers at her. She gestured to his spot at the two-person table where a steaming coffee mug and two slices of toast were waiting for him.
"Cy, sit with me."
Great. She was pulling the big sister card again by talking down to him. He folded his arms. She pointed at the chair more forcefully this time. After a moment of hesitation, he slid into it, arms still folded, suppressing a yawn. Becca studied him for nearly a minute. She sipped her coffee, sighed, and said,
"You need to move on. She doesn't love you anymore."
Each word was like a slap.
"Geez, how about a side of shade to butter my toast while you're at it?" he asked.
"I can't do this any longer," Becca said. "I let you stay here because I love you, and I felt so bad for you after your breakup. But now, every day is like Groundhog Day. You sulk around through the shop, barely talking to my customers, and then you come up here and cry yourself to sleep with Jules' name on your lips."
Oh, so she wanted to fight now. Kick him while he was down. No one had any right to mention Jules. No one.
"Jules is my business," he said. "Jules is someone else's business now," Becca said. "You're living in a weird alternate universe where every breakup song lyric is somehow true, like she's going to storm the building, calling your name and begging you to come back."
"Okay, so I listened to a little too much Bee Gees last night," Cyrus said. "But what's the harm?"
"The harm is that you're living inside yourself," Becca said. "Which is to say, you aren't living at all. And God, the fact that you even listen to the Bee Gees is creepy. We weren't even alive when they were big."
She set her coffee mug down and stared at him with tough brown eyes.
"It's going to be okay. Life goes on, Cy. I love you, but you need to find somewhere else to live."
Cyrus's jaw hung open and he raised his palms in offense.
"But I don't have any money." "I'm paying you every day at the coffee shop," Becca said.
The $11 an hour job at the coffee shop his sister owned was a godsend, but hardly enough to live on. He did some mental math and hung his head.
"It's only been 2 weeks since I've been here and a month since we broke up," he said. "I'm still grieving."
"Jules is alive," Becca said. "That doesn't qualify as grieving."
"You're telling me you never had your heart broken?"
"More times than I want to count," Becca said, rising. "It's not like I want to make you homeless or anything. I'll give you a few weeks."
She opened a kitchen drawer, pulled out an envelope, and slid it across the table.
"Here's a few $100. This is a loan. Got it?"